Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Saturday edition of Blog Talk Radio. That was nice, a nice intro. Welcome to the Saturday edition of our program today, Wisely Living Program. And so I want to start off by asking you, if you haven't done already, to go to wiserliving.com and to register for the newsletter. Also, go to wiserliving.com and subscribe. Wiser Living TV, want to click on, go to wiserliving.com and click on Wiser Living TV, and it will take you to a page, a YouTube page, where you can subscribe to that YouTube channel, and you'll basically have access to all the current educational videos that we've done. But you'll also be informed when a new video is uploaded. I think last week we uploaded a new video, so you want to go ahead and check that out. Also on Facebook, Facebook keeps changing the way they do things, obviously. But go to Facebook.com/Wiser Living and also subscribe there. So WiserLiving.com, subscribe. Wiser Living TV, subscribe. Wiser Living Radio. Follow, you don't subscribe there. You click on the, I think the upper left-hand corner, you click on follow. And then Facebook.com/Wiser Living. Go ahead and like us there, okay? Wow. This is Dr. Bud Wiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you to the program today, especially for those who have taken the time out to tune into this broadcast. And I know your time is valuable. Some of you are at work and going to have to listen to it at a later time. But I am truly grateful for your participation. I'm truly grateful for your feedback. And so over the next 27 minutes or so, I want to add to your wellness experience and talk a little bit about milk, dairy, you know, and all of that it encompasses. So let's start off with a sort of an explanation of what milk is. Milk is a white liquid that's produced by the mammary gland, and this is a definition that I looked up. It's a white liquid produced by the mammary gland of mammals like cows and goats. Milk is the primary source of nutrition for young mammals before they are able to digest other types of food. You know, early lactation milk contains colostrum, which carries the mother's antibodies to the young and can reduce the risk of many diseases. Now, milk contains many other nutrients as well. You know, and the most notable is lactose, the milk sugar that a lot of people have some issues with, but the majority of the world's population, I found, is lactose intolerant. Now, stick with me on this, because there's a lot of, you know, both sides of the fence on this. So they say that most of the world's population is lactose intolerant. Now, as an agricultural product, milk is extracted from the mammals during or soon after pregnancy, right? And it's used as food for humans. That's us. Now, worldwide, dairy farmers produce about 730 million tons of milk. This is about back in 2011. And this is from 260 million cows. You know, numbers, you know, I like numbers, so that's kind of like really like, man, that's a lot of cows. Now, India is the world's largest producer and the world's largest consumer of milk. Yet India doesn't export milk, nor do they import it. New Zealand, on the other hand, and Australia and the United States are the world's largest exporters of milk and milk products. China and Russia are the world's largest importers of milk and milk products. Now, earlier, I mentioned that the majority of the world's population, by definition, is lactose intolerant. But throughout the world, there are more than 6 billion, that's with a B, consumers of milk and milk products. So on one hand, the definition is, you know, most people are lactose intolerant. But on the other hand, they say 6 billion people are consuming milk. 6 billion. I think it was about 7.2 billion people on the planet. So for humans, the World Health Organization recommends exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months. Get this now, 6 months. and breastfeeding in addition to other foods for at least 2 years. Now, in some cultures, it's common to breastfeed children for 3 to 5 years, believe it or not. Now, humans first learned that to regularly consume the milk of other mammals like cows and yaks and goats and water buffalo and horses, reindeer and camels, I know, you know, way back in the Neolithic times. You know, that's basic Neolithic is somewhere around 9,000 to 7,000 B.C. in Southwest Asia, to 3,500 to 3,000 B.C. in the Americas. Now, milk consumption became a common practice as a consequence of European colonialism and political domination over much of the world in the last 500 years. Now, so let's talk a bit about pasteurization of milk. Now, pasteurization was used to kill harmful microorganisms by heating the milk for a short time and then immediately cooling it. This standard high temperature, short time process, or they call it the HTST, produces a 99.999% reduction of the number of bacteria in milk, making it safe to drink up to 3 weeks if it's continually refrigerated. Now, it seems like, okay, it's killing a lot of bacteria, but you got to keep it in the refrigerator all the time? Something suspect there. So if they kill a lot of bacteria, why would it go bad? Anyway, a side effect of pasteurization is that some of the vitamin and mineral content is lost. Then there's a newer process called ultra-pasteurization or ultra-high-temperature treatment, which is a process that heats the milk to an even higher temperature and then for, you know, basically for a shorter period of time. And so this basically extends the product shelf life and allows the milk to be stored unrefrigerated because of the longer-lasting sterilization effect. And we all know that if it's sterile, it's free of any bacteria, good or bad, and it's free of enzymes, for that matter. And you need enzymes, as you'll see later. Now, what about the people who say that we should not consume dairy? Well, they have a point because the cows are eating genetically modified grain. They aren't grass-fed, but they don't say that in the study. They are injected with hormones and antibiotics. And the list goes on and on and on. And you don't see that in the study. So they have a point because of the type of milk that they're drinking. You know, there's a Swedish study that came out not long ago suggesting that consuming more milk could actually be associated with higher mortality and bone fractures in women and higher mortality in men. Now, in this study, you know, women who consumed 3 or more glasses of milk a day had a higher risk of fracture and a higher risk of death. Men, on the other hand, who drank 3 or more glasses of the milk per day had a slightly higher risk of death, mostly associated with cardiovascular death compared to those who drank less than 1 glass a day. And there was no reduction or reduced risk of fracture as milk consumption increased. They also said that in both men and women, the amount of milk they consumed was also associated with higher levels of oxidative stress, which have been associated with aging and cancer and cardiovascular disease. Now, there are other studies out there that support the consumption of milk with no decrease in hip fracture. So these studies call into question the health benefits of milk or milk products like cheese and yogurt as well. So here's a problem with most of these studies. The milk they're talking about, once again, is processed, pasteurized, ultra-pasteurized, hormone, antibiotic-enriched milk and milk products. So when you look at the diets of the Blue Zone people, these are people who live at least 100 years plus, you know, or they're well into their 90s. And I'm not talking about people that are walking around on cane crutches and walkers. These are vibrantly, people that are having vibrant lives, exciting lives, they're doing stuff. Like 20 and 30 and 40-year-olds, you know, like people like, matter of fact, they're living into the hundreds, but you'll find that they have milk in their diet, but it's not, you know, go to the store, take it off the shelf, milk. You know, Sardinia is the second largest island off the coast of Italy. This area claims that this area, their claim is that it's the place as one of the top blue zones for longevity, where people live to be well over 100. Sardinia is one of the five blue zones that have been discovered by National Geographic magazine, and these people are not only just these people, but there are other islands like the islands of Okinawa, Japan, which is home to some of the the longest lived people on Earth, the Nicoya Peninsula in Costa Rica, the Icaria, I think it's pronounced, in Greece, where they have the highest percentage of 90-year-olds on Earth. You know, a place where nearly one out of three people live into their 90s. One out of three. I know that when you look around where you live, you're not seeing that. They also have a 20% lower cancer rate, a 50% lower rate of heart disease, and almost no dementia. Then there's a Loma Linda, California, in the people that in the United States, which is the only place in the United States, and this is the home of to a group of Seventh-day Adventists who live to be centenarians. And these blue zone areas claim, their claim to fame is their diet. You know, not to go into 24-hour fitness or a Gold's Gym or, you know, not that. It's their diet. You know, they eat a food or a diet of healthy nutrients, of freshly and locally grown foods, foods that are prepared simply with maybe some olive oil, et cetera. You know, some eat meat, others don't. Some do dairy, others don't. But the common denominator is that the food is not passive. It's not processed or pasteurized. You know, let's go back to the milk and the milk product. Why should you consume dairy? And what about the lactose intolerant group? You know, let's do a little recap here about pasteurization. Now, here's some harmful features attributed to commercial milk. You know, it's unknown but suspected. You know, they have unknown but suspected negative effects of ingesting growth hormones and antibiotics given to the cow and then transferred to the milk. But they're not really trying to do a whole lot of studies on this. Pesticide content. There's not a lot of studies on that. You know, changes in the composition of the fat, especially CLA or conjugated linoleic acid. You know, that's due to a grain diet as opposed to a nature intended grass fed diet. Pasteurization, which kills the bad bacteria, but it also kills the good bacteria. And then there's homogenization, where it breaks down the fat into smaller globules, but then your enzymes have a harder time breaking that fat down, so you can get some usable energy out of it. You know, so while pasteurization kills harmful bacteria, right, once again, it also renders the milk a processed food. So some people say it's a dead food. And according to one study, pasteurization was also found to affect the hematogenic and growth-promoting properties of the special milk. Special milk is raw milk from specially fed cows whose milk did not produce nutritional anemia. So whereas a commercially pasteurized milk did. And the word hematogenic, by the way, is defined as pertaining to anything produced from, derived from, or transported by the blood. So pasteurization had a negative effect on nutritional anemia. Pasteurized milk completely changes the structure of milk proteins into something, you know, far less healthy. And that's a process called denaturation. It alters the milk amino acids, particularly lysine and tyrosine, making the whole milk complex of proteins less available. So pasteurization of milk, it alters the mineral content, and it alters the components such as calcium, chlorine, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, sodium, and sulfur, as well as many of the trace minerals, making them less available. It promotes rancidity, of unsaturated fatty acids and the destruction of vitamins. No wonder it has to fortify it with all kinds of stuff. You know, it destroys a part of the vitamin C that's found in raw milk by 50% in many cases. Not to mention additional vitamin losses, usually up to 80%. You know, and there's some evidence that pasteurization alters lactose, making it more readily absorbable. That's why people get, if they don't have that enzyme, they're going to get, and they're not going to feel well. This and the fact that pasteurized milk puts an unnecessary strain on your pancreas to produce digestive enzymes, which may explain why milk consumption in the so-called civilized society has been linked with diabetes. And finally, when we talk about pasteurization destroys the anti-stiffness factor or the Wolven factor, which is found to protect against calcification of the joint, degenerative arthritis, as well as hardening of the arteries, cataract, and calcification of the pineal gland. Now, the pineal gland is a gland that produces a hormone called melatonin that helps to regulate the human sleep, the human sleep-wake cycle, known as the circadian rhythm. So, you know, now we have an issue with being able to go to sleep, which the body wants to sleep in order to get rest and repair and regenerate portions of the body that require it. So when it comes to raw milk, few people are aware that clean raw milk from grass-fed cows was actually used as a medicine in the early part of the 1900s, not so long ago, really. And as a matter of fact, raw milk was used from the time of Hippocrates to until after World War II to nourish and heal people with chronic health. So you can't even use food health or healing together now. You know, clean raw milk, pastured cow is a complete and properly balanced food. It's a whole food. I mean, when I say whole food, I mean you can actually just drink milk, period, and get most of the benefits that you need, that the body needs to function. So what is raw milk? What is it? What makes it so great? Well, our bodies use amino acids as building blocks for protein. And depending on what book you read, we need 20 to 22 of these amino acids to build these proteins. Now, 8 of them are considered essential, which means that we must get them from our food. Now, raw cow's milk has all these eight essential amino acids in different amounts, depending on the stage of lactation. About 80% of the proteins in milk are caseins, which are relatively heat stable and for the most part easy to digest. The remaining 20% or so are classed as whey proteins, W-H-E-Y, and are easy to digest, but they are heat sensitive. And these include key enzymes and enzyme inhibitors, immunoglobulins or antibodies, metal binding proteins, vitamin binding proteins, and several growth factors, all in raw milk. Now, the current research out there is focusing on fragments of proteins now called peptides that exhibit antimicrobial factors as well. Now, let me talk a little bit about lactoferrin before I move on. You know, lacto means milk, ferrin, iron, is an iron-binding protein that has numerous beneficial properties, including improved absorption and assimilation of iron, anti-cancer properties, and antimicrobial action against several species of bacteria responsible for dental cavities. So recent studies also reveal that it has powerful antiviral properties as well. Raw milk also has lysozymes and lactoperoxidase enzymes. You know, lysozymes can actually break apart cell walls of certain undesirable bacteria, while lactoperoxidase teams up with the other substances to help kill unwanted microbes as well. Now, the immunoglobulin, which is an extremely complex class of milk proteins, also break up or provide resistance to many viruses, bacteria, bacterial toxins, and even may help to reduce the severity of asthma symptoms. Now, studies have shown significant loss of these important digestive fibers when milk is heated to normal processing temperature. So let's talk about lactose. Lactose is a milk sugar. It is the primary carbohydrate in cow's milk. It's made from one molecule of glucose and one molecule of galactose, and that's known, which means it's known as a disaccharide, di meaning two. Now, people with lactose intolerance for one reason or another, it could be age, genetics, whatever, no longer make the enzyme lactase, and so they can't digest the milk sugar. Now, this leads to some weird symptoms and that are unpleasant at that. But raw milk may allow people who traditionally have avoided milk to give it another try. The end result of lactose digestion is a substance called lactic acid, which is responsible for the sour taste in fermented dairy products. And besides having known inhibitory effects on harmful bacteria, lactic acid boosts the absorption of calcium, it boosts the absorption of phosphorus, it boosts the absorption of iron, and has been shown to make milk proteins more digestible by knocking them out of solution as fine curd-like particles. Now, approximately two-thirds of the fat in milk is saturated. Is it good for you or is it bad for you? Well, saturated fats play a number of key roles in our bodies, from construction of cell membranes, making key hormones to provide energy, and storage and padding for delicate organs, to serving as a vehicle for important fat-soluble vitamins. All fats cause our stomach lining to secrete a hormone called cholecystokinin, or CCK, which, aside from boosting production and secretion of digestive enzymes, it lets us know when we've eaten enough, when we're full. So you need beneficial fats all the time. So with that trigger removed, non-fat dairy products or fat-free foods can potentially help contribute to overeating. And you know where that leads to. So consider that for thousands of years before the introduction of the hydrogenation process and the use of canola oil from GMO rapeseed, GMO corn, GMO cottonseed, GMO safflower, and GMO soy oil. Prior to that, to those oils, dietary fats were somewhat more often saturated or solid and frequently animal-based. So prior to, say, 1850, animals in the United States were not so heavily fed corn or grain. And when these are the cowboy days, right? And when they were, it wasn't the GMO variety. They used lard, butter, tallows, poultry fats, fish oil, tropical oils such as coconut and palm oil, and cold-pressed olive oil were also higher than the level seen today. So whether you were omnivore, a vegan, a vegetarian, there were available good fats for you to consume. So now consider that prior to 1900, very few people died from heart disease. The introduction of hydrogenated cottonseed oil and Crisco. Remember the Crisco program we did a couple of sessions ago? We began to move away from healthy animal fats towards slow downward trend into cardiovascular health from which millions continue to suffer from today. Now, CLA, or conjugated linoleic acid, is abundant in raw milk from grass-fed cows. It's an omega-6 fatty acid with promising health benefits. And among those it raises the metabolic rate, it helps to remove abdominal fat, it boosts muscle growth, it reduces resistance to insulin, it strengthens the immune system and lowers food allergy reactions. Grass-fed cows have 3 to 5 times more CLA, or conjugated linoleic acid, than feedlot cows. A lot of people have these allergies now, and it's probably from the milk, the processed milk they're drinking. You know, volumes have been written about fat and water-soluble vitamins and the contribution to health. You know, whole raw milk has them all, has everything you need, and it's a completely available source for your body to use. Now, whether you're regulating your metabolism or helping the biochemical reactions that free energy from the foods you eat, they're all present and ready to go to work for you in raw milk. Just to repeat, nothing needs to be added to raw milk. No vitamins, no minerals, no enriching. It's a complete food. And our bodies each with its own biochemistry, as unique as our fingerprints, are incredibly complex. So discussion of when we talk about minerals and other nutrients, most of them deal with you have to deal with it in a range instead of specifics. You know, you need this many milligrams, that many milligrams. Raw milk contains a broad selection of a completely available mix of minerals, ranging from calcium and phosphorus on down to the trace minerals. You know, a sampling of the health benefits of calcium, which is an important element that's abundant in raw milk, include a reduction in cancers, particularly of the colon, higher bone mineral density in people of every age, and a lower risk of osteoporosis and fractures in older adults, lower risk of kidney stone, formation of strong teeth, and the reduction of dental cavities, just to name a few. An interesting feature of minerals as nutrients is the delicate balance they require with other minerals to function properly. For instance, calcium needs a proper ratio of phosphorus and magnesium to be properly utilized by our bodies. So guess what? Nature calls for the entire array of minerals and raw milk from cows that are on properly pastured land to be in the proper balance to one another, which optimizes the benefits for all of them. You know, the 60-plus fully functional and intact enzymes in raw milk have a wide variety of tasks to perform, and each one of them is essential in facilitating one reaction or another. So one of the most significant health benefits derived from food enzymes is the burden that they take off the human body. So when we eat food that contains enzymes devoted to its own digestion, it's that much less work for our pancreas. The amylase bacteria produce lactase, the breakdown of starch, lactose, fat, that breaks down triglycerides, and phosphate compounds makes raw milk more digestible, and it frees up key minerals. You know, other enzymes like catalase, lysozyme, and lactoperoxidase help to protect raw milk from unwanted bacterial infection, making it safe for us to drink. Milk contains cholesterol, but it contains it in the form where the body can break it down and not just have an excess cholesterol that could cause problems in your vessels. Through the process of fermentation, several strains of bacteria like Lactobacillus, Pediococcus, to name a few, can transform milk into an even more digestible food. So with high levels of lactic acid, numerous enzymes and increased vitamin content or fermentation or that souring of dairy products like yogurt and kefir or kefir, some people say pronounce it that, it provides a litany of health benefits for people who eat it. You know, being acid lovers, these helpful little guys and gals make it safely through the stomach and that environment to reach the intestines where they really begin to work their magic, serving it. You know, these enzymes just break down proteins, which can be a real benefit for people with weakened immune systems. You know, so when we look at that, just remember lactic acid that I mentioned before can be a good thing because it boosts the absorption of calcium, iron, and phosphorus, right? So when we look at food, you know, stick with whole, unprocessed foods that have not been genetically modified. Cook your food minimally. Learn about sprouting and fermentation. You know, question everything before letting it pass your lips. You know, look at what worked for the many generations before us and put it to work for yourself today. You can go a long, long, long way to achieve an amazing health by diet. And you add a little supplementation, some exercise, some water, you know, and some movement, you basically move toward a dynamic, vibrant existence. Remember, raw milk is a living food. The Hunzas know it, the Sardinians know it, the Okinawans know it, the Icarian people know it. You know, the Nicoyan Peninsula people know it. The Seventh-day Adventist people know it. And you should know it. You know it now. So remember, you know, let your food be your medicine and let your medicine be your food. Go to wiserliving.com and like us or subscribe there. Wiser Living TV, Wiser Living Radio, and what else? And this is it. So we shall see you next program. We'll see you next week. when I first started writing,